Mark Berman, New York Post Knicks beat writer. Thanks for taking a few minutes to join us. What's your favorite meal at Nino's Tuscany Steakhouse, Mark?
Haven't been there recently, but I'm sure the steak is pretty good.
Yeah, imagine it.
But yeah, they had a nice back corner table. Steve Mills, the GM, Phil Jackson, and Jeff Hornacek, who probably hasn't been to New York since, you know, not this past season, but the season before.
Yeah. I love Jeff and just the way things ended in Phoenix, he was kind of kicked to the curb. And so I was surprised and I give Phil Jackson credit for, you know, kind of looking behind the headlines. And obviously Jeff is a very, very smart player, worked with Hall of Famers Stockton and Malone here in Utah. And are you surprised? Is there sort of a ripple of surprise through the Knick world?
Well, it's shocking because I know for a fact that the Knicks did not contact Hornacek's agent until almost 3 weeks into the process. So, you know, it looked like they were going a different direction. And I think that Phil was heavily considering Rambis, but the vibes were so strong against the move from everyone, from the fans to the players, including Carmelo Anthony and Porzingis, to GM Steve Mills. The ownership, James Dolan, wasn't exactly jumping for joy. He wanted a broader search. You know, Phil made the decision, but, you know, he was definitely influenced, I believe. And even the triangle that he seemed so emphatic about 5 weeks ago to keep running, now it's a question whether Hornacek, you know, I'm told that Hornacek has some options here, and they're going to try to come up with an offensive system that probably blends a little bit of everything, including a triangle. But, you know, Hornacek ran the D'Antoni speedball pretty much in Phoenix.
Right, and you know Hornacek. I mean, he is among his the things he brings to the table, he is really, really smart. And because he wasn't athletically gifted, but he got his way around, worked his way around the floor very well. You know, no idea what happened in Phoenix. That seemed like, you know, he had a great first year and set him up for success and set expectations. And then the roster kind of imploded. And I'm just curious, Mark Berman with us, New York Knicks beat writer with the New York Post, wondering what are the biggest challenges you think Hornacek faces there in New York?
Oh, it's a tremendous challenge. And, you know, one of them is establishing an offensive system that Phil is going to agree to. But, you know, you made the point about how smart he is. I mean, that's what Phil has felt for, I think they've known each other on a casual basis for about 20 years, and they've always hit it off. He's always enjoyed talking to him. They have always had a good rapport. And, you know, when they interviewed Monday, it was clear to him that he sounded, you know, like a guy he wanted to work with, as opposed to maybe Blatt and Vogel, who he had interviewed before. And the challenge is enormous. And, you know, maybe Jeff was the scapegoat in Phoenix. They had so many injuries.
Yes.
The roster was imbalanced. But, there's a lot of fan pressure. But, you know, the challenge he faces is less than the challenge Rambis would have faced, because the fans would have been on him, you know, every step of the way. I think Hornacek gets a little bit of a grace period. They're happy to see a fresh face and maybe a fresh offense. So, but, you know, the honeymoon ends quick in New York.
Exactly. Let me just take a minute to pause. What did Rambis do wrong? I mean, you know, we had a lot of eyes on Jimmer Fredette and that little thing with the Westchester Knicks that he came up, and I was just struck that Rambis was out front saying, I didn't bring him up. It was a management decision. And,
yeah,
you know, I don't know, how did he rub people at everybody apparently the wrong way?
Yeah, you know, that's a great little anecdote with the whole Fredette situation. He was so blunt, and I think he was too blunt,
yeah,
with maybe some of the players. I think some of the players thought he was a little too arrogant. You know, Fisher related more, and Fisher was a better motivator than Rambis. I don't think Rambis ever had full respect of the players. I know Carmelo missed Fisher and missed Fisher's speeches. Rambis was more direct, more about, you know, X's and O's, which was good, but just not good enough. But there is an arrogance, and you know, he's won the many titles, and I think he rubbed some players the wrong way. I think Dolan was worried that the fans were just going to be, you know, miserable about this move. And, you know, they were 9-19. There's a lot of excuses. The team was sort of out of the playoff race when he took over. But he did nothing to help change the situation. Phil knows that. But he thought maybe with a fresh start and with Phil more involved, he loves Rambis, they're great friends. Maybe Phil thought that maybe they could change the karma. But I think Phil just felt there was too many bad vibes. He's the Zen master, and when he senses it's wrong, you know, you got to trust him.
Right. It's interesting that Rambis, yeah, you mentioned the rings and the arrogance, but, I mean, nobody rode coattails better than Kurt Rambis. I mean, he, you know, you put him in any other team, he's not leading anybody to a championship. You know, he was a good fit. Yeah. And did, you know, played a role, but I mean, let's not get, you know, he should need to maybe look in the mirror and realize their limitations. And again, players know what role he played in the league. You're not going to fool Carmelo Anthony. So that's interesting. And just tell me how this kind of seemed like it happened quickly. They first meeting in LA Monday, they go to Nino's Tuscany Steakhouse, Wednesday night, or was it last night? Last night, and boom, it's done. I guess Phil, when he found his guy, just moved in. That was it.
Yeah. Well, it's not done. I mean, they still haven't really talked contract, but, you know, Phil wants him as the coach, and, you know, it's probably going to work out. You know, last 2 years ago, it didn't work out. Steve Kerr had a verbal agreement right. with the Knicks.
Right.
But then Golden State came crashing in. No one's crashing in on this situation. So, I would think Monday press conference, maybe once they hammer out a contract, you know, I haven't really talked contract parameters, but that's exactly it. Phil got the great sense from Monday, from his interview Monday, and moved quickly. And it was a 5-week process. Today's the 5-week mark. And that shows that, you know, he spoke to Blatt, he spoke to Vogel, he knows Rambis, spoke to Rambis. He wasn't 100% comfortable with any of those situations, and he kept looking for an alternative, and the Hornacek thing felt right, and it may be a little impulsive, and it's showing that Phil can be an impulsive guy, and as a head coach sometimes you have to be, and now he's a president.
Yeah, no doubt. New York Knicks beat writer Mark Berman with the New York Post joining us here for another couple of minutes on the imminent hiring of Jeff Hornacek. I think one of the things that's endeared Hornacek to all of us here in the Intermountain West, and certainly in the Phoenix area prior to him taking over that dumpster fire. But here's a guy who's not outwardly, you know, he's really measured. He's a smart guy, and when you talk to him, he relates really well with everybody, but he's not really out there. His personality is much more introverted and quiet. I wondered whether he would be a good head coach because of that, but it seems like a really good fit for New York and all of the circus that in the media and all the pressure. He's not a guy who's going to react with, you know, sort of he's not going to fly off the handle. Everything's going to be measured with him, and maybe that's part of this equation.
Yeah, well, you mentioned what are his challenges, and you're right, dealing with the New York media market, the fans, you know, there's so much criticism. You have to have a thick skin.
Right.
I hope he does. I don't know him well enough. In Phoenix, it's a small media market. Utah's a couple of daily newspapers,
yep.
but still considered a smaller media
yep.
market. You know, the media here were ferocious when the team is losing, so he's got to stay even keeled. But, you know, I've dealt with him when he was the Suns coach, and he seemed to give very smart answers to when I remember going to his pregame interviews. So as long as he seems smart, I think fans will love him. He just can't be sensitive, especially if the team starts off badly and the fans start howling.
Right, right. And he played in Philly, so I think he's had a taste of that Eastern edge. And also, he's coming into a situation where he's not replacing a legend. He's not
right.
taking over a team that has just won a championship. I mean, they're certainly, you know, rising. Melo is a real question, you know, what they're going to do with him. But Porzingis, I mean, you have arguably with Karl-Anthony Towns, you know, one of the best, most versatile bigs in the league. I think the Lakers wish they'd gone with him instead of D'Angelo Russell. But, I mean, yeah, Jeff has a roster that's built to win.
Yeah, well, they need...
With some tweaks, yeah.
Yeah, they need a couple of free agent pieces in the backcourt. The point guard and shooting guard situation is not good. But up front, Robin Lopez, Carmelo, and Porzingis, it's a very, very strong front court. I think Jeff has pieces to work with. And not replacing a legend. Listen, when it came out Monday that he had the interview, fans were saying, well, you know, they didn't seem overjoyed, but they say, well, at least it's not Rambis. So, you know, he's got some positive energy flowing his way for now.
And they have, they have every asset. We're used here in Utah. I mean, Dennis Lindsay's talked about all these assets, and, you know, they have tons of money and all kinds of trade assets and so forth. But the Knicks, money's rarely an issue. What does he have to work with? You mentioned he needs a backcourt. Melo, I think, is all in. There's always a question about whether they're going to move him to get more pieces or whatever. How do you see how big of the rebuild is Hornacek facing?
Yeah, well, I don't think they're going to move Melo now. I mean, if they hired Rambis, I think Melo would have been upset. And
yeah,
the chances of him waiving his no-trade clause, asking for a trade, definitely would have increased. They don't have a draft pick. Their lottery pick goes to Toronto, which actually had to give it to Denver. But no first-round pick, no second-round pick, but Dolan will spend up to $3 million on draft night and probably buy 2 second-round picks, maybe even a late first-rounder. So, you know, and then they got, you know, depending on who opts out, they could have as much as $28 million of cap space, but that's not as glorious as it sounds because every team has cap space.
Right.
So it's going to be tough. You know, I think Phil also did the hire, hoping Hornacek could be a little bit of a magnet to some players out there, some free agents, especially with the notion that, you know, the triangle now is sort of optional and it won't be as strict as in the past. So they got to do well in free agency, but it's really no easy task. Phil put them in a hole. His inexperience as a president really hurt the club in his first 2 years.
Right, and I guess my last thought is, you know, Hornacek comes in, and certainly Porzingis, and they have talent, but yeah, it's going to be they're going to have to make some moves. And just curious, how long you think? You mentioned the honeymoon period. And there's nothing like winning in the Big Apple, as you know. That is as good as it gets. The flip side of that is, you know, it's tough to lose. So you mentioned the honeymoon. How long does Hornacek get? And in tandem with Phil Jackson, with some of the moves they can make to get free agents. I mean, this is not necessarily a destination, but New York is a free agent destination.
Not as much as it used to be with the way the world has changed in the digital age and everyone's on TNT. And,
right.
But it's still, you know, a place where free agents are attracted. The Garden is still the mecca to some players. But if they make a couple of nice free agent signings and, you know, we're all predicting, hey, this is definitely a playoff team, and they get off to a lousy start, he's not going to have a lot of leeway because he's coming off a couple of really crummy seasons in Phoenix.
Right.
And, you know, he's a young, well, not a young guy, but he's sort of an inexperienced head coach, mm-hmm. only 2.5 seasons. So I don't think he's going to have a long leash, to be honest. But he is such a nice guy, I'm told, also.
Yep.
And I think the fans are going to like that. And I think they're just going to like not seeing the triangle, if that's the case. I think, again, there's nothing set in stone, but I think Phil is backing off a little bit, and I think they're going to see a different type of style of play, and I think the fans are going to really appreciate that.
Well, we really appreciate your jumping on with us on short notice. Mark Berman, New York Knicks beat writer with the New York Post. Enjoy the press conference. Say hello to Hornacek for all of us here in Utah, and I look forward to talking to you down the road. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate
it. All right. Terrific. Thanks so much for having me.